For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
It is November the 27th. We are in Treyasar and Micha, Perek Dalet, Chapter 4. V'hoya b'acharis hayamim, it will be the end of days. Yeah, harbeis Hashem nachon b'rosh haharim. The mountain of the house of Hashem will be established at the top of the mountains. Finisa hu migavaos, and it will be lifted up from the hills. V'naharu alav amim, and the nations the literal meaning is they will. The naharu comes from the word river, means they will come. They will converge upon Yerushalayim, upon the mountain of the house of Hashem. The Medrash says that the three mountains of Har Sinai, Har Tavor, and Har HaKarmel, those three mountains will get together, and the mountain of the Beis HaMikdash will go on top of those mountains. And that's where the Beis HaMikdash will be. So, we'll discuss presently what that means, or what it may mean. But that's what it said, because it says that the Har Beis Hashem will be established on the top of the mountains. Pasuk Beis, verse 2. V'hochu goyim rabim, and many nations will go, v'amru, and they will say, l'chu v'na'ale el Har Hashem, let us go and go up to the mountain of Hashem, Vel Beis Elokei Yaakov, and to the house of the God of Yaakov, V'yorenu midrachav, and he will show us from his ways, he will lead us from his ways, V'nel Chabor Chosov, we will go in his path. And here you have a very famous pasuk, Ki mitzion teitzei sora, Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. For from Tzion will come Torah, and the word of Hashem from Yerushalayim. V'shafat bein amim rabim, and he, Hashem, will judge, means that he will admonish many nations. V'huchiach l'goyim atzumim ad rachok, and again he will admonish many strong nations from far away. And here again we have a well-known phrase, v'chitesu charvoseihem li'itim, they will cut down their swords to make them into plows. Va'chanisoseihem l'mazmeros, and their spears or their swords also will be used for sickles. Lo yisu goya goy cherev, one nation will not lift a sword against another nation. V'lo yilmedun od milchama, and they will not learn war anymore. There'll be no more war in the world. World peace. V'yashvu ish tachas gafno v'sachas te'inaso, and each man will sit, will dwell under his own vine, his own vineyard, and his own fig tree. Vein macharid, and no one will be afraid. Kifi Hashem tzvakos diber, because the mouth of Hashem has spoken. For all of the nations, each man will go in the name of their deity. We will go in the name of Hashem our God forever. The other nations, those that follow their Avodah Zarah, they will go, meaning they'll go to destruction. And we will go with Hashem forever.
So it says in Pesach Beis that the Goyim are going to go and say, L'chuv v'na'ale el Har Hashem.
Right.
So why
question.
Right. It's a good question.
We don't know exactly what Achrei Sayom means. Achrei Sayom is not one day.
We
don't know. We don't know what the process is going to be in Achrei Sayom, but it is not going to, it's not so smooth. Some Goyim will gather around and come close to Hashem, and others will cling to their Avodah Zarah and be destroyed.
But there's some that claim to go to Hashem, but they claim that Hashem fits in with their Avodah Zarah
yes,
somehow.
Yes, they'll be destroyed.
How do you think that they're
going to
be destroyed?
Yeah.
Rashi
says, Yelchu Livadon. They'll go to destruction. Al Sha'avdu Avodah Zarah. Kain Tirgam Yonah's son.
Just like the gods have no future, they all have no future.
They'll go to destruction. Pasuk 1, verse 6. Vayomahu, on that day, Numa Hashem says, Hashem, Osfa Hatzolea, Fahinidacha Akabetza. I will gather those who have been scattered. That's the Jews. Fahinidacha, and those who have been, again, another word for scattered, Akabetza, I will gather. Now, it's the same phrase, just different words. The same phrase, clearly there's a difference, but it's the same concept. Va'asher hare'osi, and that which I did evil to. And the simple meaning of that is that I will gather those to whom I did evil to them because of their sins. Meaning the Jews who had been punished until now, they will now be gathered in. That's the simple meaning of that phrase, va'asher hare'osi, and that which I have done evil to. However, we will see that the Gemara has learned something very significant from this phrase. Pasuk Zayin, verse 7, V'samtias ha'tzolei'a lish'eris, and I will put those who were scattered, they will now become the remnant, meaning the remnant, they will survive. They're going to move on. V'han hala'a l'gayatzum, and those who were worn out will now become a powerful nation. That's the Jews. Umalach Hashem aleihem b'har Tzion, and Hashem will rule over them on the mountain of Tzion. Me'ata v'ad olam forever. Ve'ata migdal eder ofel bas Tzion adecha se'aseh. And now migdal eder. Now there's different ways of translating this. Rashi. Targum Yonasan says this is referring to Mashiach. Migdal Eder, which means the tower of Eder, it's referring to Melech HaMashiach. Ophel Bas Tzion is currently hidden because of Tzion, meaning because of our sins, therefore Melech HaMashiach is currently hidden. Adecha Seiseh, that they will come to you. These remnants, these people will come to you, to the Melech HaMashiach. Uva HaMemshala HaRishona, and the original kingship will return, which means that Melech HaMashiach will rule as before, as the original king of the Jews, that David HaMelech ruled over everybody. It was not a split kingdom. It was the North and South Kingdom were one kingdom. So Melech HaMashiach likewise will rule over everybody. Mamleches Levas Yerushalayim, a kingdom for those who dwell in Yerushalayim. Ata now, Lama Sari'ireya. Why are you Jews looking for a friend? Meaning, why are you trying to find friendship and kinship with other nations to help you? Why are you looking for help, like from the Egyptians or from the Assyrians? Hamelech ein bach? Do you not have a king? Im yoatzei chavad? Have you lost your advisor? Ki hechazikeich chil kayoleda? That you have been grabbed with trembling, like a woman in giving birth. Why are you behaving like that? You have no reason for that. You're being cared for. You have a king. You have advisors. You have prophets. Yeah, you're close to Hashem. Why are you seeking help from the rest of the world? Why are you trembling like a woman in birth? Chuli vagochi basion kayoleda. Basion is bent over and is groaning like a woman in labor. Ki ata seitzi mikirya v'shachant basadeh. For now, you will need to go out from the city, meaning going into Golus, and you will dwell in the field. Uvas ad Bavel, and you will come to Bavel. You're going to have to go to Golus because of what you've been doing, your behavior now. But Sham Tinat Seili, there you will be saved. Sham Yigalech Hashem Mikaf Oyevayech, there Hashem will save you from your enemies. So the Golus will have to happen, but from the Golus you will be saved. Ve'ata nesfu alayich goyim rabim, and now many nations will gather to you. Are gathering to you. This is it while in Golus. They're gathering to you. Ha'omrim techenuf. They are saying that now you, the Jews, will be punished for your sins. This is from the word chanifa. Chanifa means to flatter, but chanifa is an avera. So now they're hoping to see punishment to you. V'sachaz b'tzion einenu, and our eyes will now be able to see what happens to Tzion. They're excited, the non-Jews, your enemies. They're excited to see your downfall. They're excited to see what's going to happen to you. However, they're going to be disappointed. V'hema lo yadu machshavos Hashem. They don't know the thoughts of Hashem. V'lo hivinu atzaso. They don't understand His way of doing things. Ki kibtzam ke'amir garna. For He has gathered them, meaning the non-Jews, like gathering the amir, the pile of grain, to the threshing floor. He's brought them all together so that He can destroy them. So when they all gather together to try to see whatever is going to befall you Jews, that's just a way of, Hashem says, of me gathering them together in order to destroy them. Kumi vadoshi vasion, get up and thresh the daughter of Tzion. In other words, destroy your enemies. Ki karnech asim barzel, for your horn I will put as iron. Ufar sosayich asim nechusha, and your footsteps, your feet, I will put like copper, meaning they'll be powerful. Vahadikos amim rabim, you will crush many nations. You'll trample them. Vahacharamti laHashem bitzam, and I will make I will designate or set it aside for Hashem their wealth, all the wealth that they have stolen and they have will be given over to Hashem. V'cheilam la'adon kol ha'aretz. Again, another word for wealth, for the master of the whole land. Ata tisgodedi vas gedud. But for now, this is talking about the enemy of the Jews. For now, you should gather together. Talking about the Babylonians. Matzar sam aleinu. You have put a siege upon us. Now it's for now, because the Jews do have to go into Golus. So before all this happens, so you, the people of Bavel, should gather together and place a siege on the Jews. Bashevet yaku al halchi es shovet Yisrael. With a stick or a staff, they will strike on the jaw, the Shofet Yisrael, the leader of the Jewish people, the judge of the Jewish people. Okay. So the Perek is filled with statements about Acharis Hayamim in the future, when great things are going to happen, both about the Beis HaMikdash being rebuilt, being on top of the mountains, about us being gathered in, about some of the non-Jews rallying around Hashem, about others being destroyed, about us destroying our enemies, and Melech HaMashiach appearing, all of that is mentioned. But in addition to that, we also have a reference to the fact that there needs to be Golos, it will be at the hands of Bavel, and it is from there that we will be saved, and that the non-Jews, our enemies, are going to be expecting to see destruction of the Jewish people, but they will be disappointed. That's not what's going to happen, but rather Hashem is going to destroy them. Let's go back to the beginning of the Perek, and let's cover some of these points that we read through. The first point that we read through is that in Pasuk Aleph it says that the Har Beis Hashem will be on top of the mountains, plural. And as we mentioned, the Medrash says that's a reference to three mountains, Har Sinai, Har Tavar, and Har HaKarmel. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nivra. Some of you will remember that Har Sinai, Har Tavar, and Har HaKarmel share an important job. They're in different places. Har Sinai, of course, is not even in Eretz Yisrael. It's way down south in the Sinai Peninsula. Har HaKarmel is way up north. Har Tavar, the three mountains are not near each other. The Medrash tells us that these are the three mountains that were the finalists for the Torah to be given on these mountains. Har Tavar and Har HaKarmel were the runners-up to Har Sinai for being chosen as the mountain on which the Torah would be given. That the Torah needed to be given on a mountain was clear, because the whole idea of Matan Torah was that Hashem brought the Elyonim, the upper realm, down to the Tachtonim, to the lower realm, and brought them not quite together, but very, very close together, and gave the Torah. That interface was on Har Sinai. And that was the greatest revelation there ever was of Hashem, and that resulted in the Torah being given over to us. It needed to be a mountain. The question was, which mountain would it be? And there were three possibilities. There was Har Sinai, Har Tavar, and Har HaKarmel. Now the Medrash says Har Tavar and Har HaKarmel came to be the ones to have the Torah given on them, and they were sent away. We've talked about this before, because the Medrash also says that they were later rewarded for having been finalists in the ones to have the Torah given on them. Har HaKarmel is rewarded in the days of Eliyahu, that there it says, Hashem hu hu Elokim, Hashem hu hu Elokim. And Har Tavar is rewarded in the days of Devorah, that Shiras Devorah is said because of the battle of Har Tavar, and where the Jews defeated Sisera there. And there Har Tavar is rewarded with the words, Anochi la Hashem, Anochi Ashira. I to Hashem, I will sing. As we explained when we learned we didn't learn Shiras Devorah yet because we didn't do Shoftim yet together. But when we learned about Har Sinai in Parshas Yisro, and then also when we learned about Har HaKarmel with Elyon Avi, we explained in both places that the Medrash means that each of these mountains represents a different Midah. We know the Midah that Har Sinai represents. Har Sinai represents Anava, humility. We know that. Har Tavar and Har HaKarmel also each represent a particular Midah. Har HaKarmel represents the Midah of Emuna, of complete Emuna, of not being Poseach HaShnei HaSifim, not waffling back and forth between different beliefs, but having complete and total belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Har Tavor represents tshuva, doing tshuva. And those three midos, that is anava, humility, tshuva, and emuna, those are the three midos that are necessary for Kabbalah HaTorah. For us to have gotten the Torah, we needed all three. And you find before Matan Torah that we Jews were able to access all three of those very important midos. The Medrash is saying that when it came to the giving of the Torah, all three of those midos are necessary. And without any of them, if you're missing one of them, you can't properly be mekabel the Torah. But the reason why Hashem chose Har Sinai over the other two is because of the three midos, the most important is that of anava, of humility, which is why Moshe Rabbeinu, who is both the Rebbe of everybody and the greatest Navi to ever live, Rabban Shel Kol HaNaviim, is also the Anav Mikol Adam, he's also the most humble of all, because that's the most significant midah. But the other two midos, that of tshuva and that of emuna, are also critical. And that's why Har Tavar and Har HaKarmel were runners up to Har Sinai. And in certain ways, they exceed Har Sinai. They're better than Har Sinai. In certain ways. Not in the fact of having the Torah been given on them, but in the incidents that happen on their mountains, the incident of Shiras Tavar and the incident of Eliyahu HaNavi, those two incidents are particular to the midah that those mountains represent. Ba'achris Hayamim, in the future, when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, so the mountain of the Beis Hashem, which is Har HaMoriah, will be on top of all three mountains, which means that we Jews will merit the third Beis HaMikdash, and we will be able to excel in these three midos. Just as the Jews did when they got the Torah, we are going to embody all three of these midos. Anava, Emuna, and Tshuva. And those three things will come together, they'll coalesce, to bring about the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And that is what is meant when the Medrash says that the mountain will be on top of these three mountains. Will the mountain literally be on top of these three mountains? I can't say. It's possible that we know there's going to be all kinds of geological upheaval in Achris Hayamim. We know that's going to happen. There are several references to it in Tanakh. But we don't know, as everything with Achris Hayamim, we don't know what exactly is going to happen. So we don't know if this is literal or if it is allegorical. But it definitely represents what we were just saying, and it may be literal as well.
I understand that if the mountain has emunah, then something like what Eliyahu did brings out the emunah. But how does a mountain get a midah to begin with?
A mountain doesn't have emunah, a mountain doesn't have tshuva, a mountain doesn't have anava. Okay. They represent it. So we know how Sinai represents anava because it's a small mountain. It's hard to know how the mountains represent emunah or tshuva. That I can't tell you.
Does every mountain represent a midah then?
I don't know. I assume the mountains in Eretz Yisrael do, but I don't know.
Why is tshuva, Har Tavar, related to tshuva?
So that's a whole shmooze. It's not a whole, but...
And imagine if we got the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. One day things would have been different.
Yeah.
We would be in an Eretz Yisrael already, though we know,
Yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of questions like that about what would have happened. The Pasuk in Bishalach says Hashem didn't take us out Derech Eretz Plishtim. He didn't take us out along the Mediterranean coast because He didn't want us to go back to Mitzrayim if something would have happened. And let's say He would have taken us out Derech Eretz Plishtim. What would have been with Har Sinai? Derech Eretz Plishtim doesn't go near Har Sinai. Right? There's all kinds of questions like that.
Can I ask?
Yeah.
You may go back to this, but It seems like such a sudden transition. I mean, there is no transition.
Between one and one.
I mean, the previous parak and this, all of a sudden everything is good. I mean, like, why would that come here all of a sudden? It just doesn't seem like it flows.
The previous pasuk was the pasuk that once that comes true, then once that negative comes true, then the positive comes true. That's how we ended off in the last prayer.
So is this the first time that is not musar, like, micha's not, you know, like, it seemed to me like till now, this is bad.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we find with all the Nevi'im that they generally start with musar and then move on to something more positive. Here we're going to see, we're only in the middle of the Sefer, so we'll see
it's the chronology off, because sometimes he's talking about things that still haven't happened yet, and other things, you know, were going to happen.
Right. He goes back and forth.
Is that because if they had done tshuva, the other things would have
happened
or not?
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know the answer.
Was Micha saying this to the people at that time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Talking about Afri Tayyamim.
Yeah.
So why is that supposed to? Is that supposed to encourage them? If they say you're going into galus, but someday this will be.
It's for sure meant to get them to do the right thing.
A choice? If you don't repent, you're going into galus.
Could
and if
be.
You do repent, this is.
Right. No, but it also says right here that you need galus because of.
Okay, let's see, let's talk about that a little bit. Okay, so, the pasuk goes on to say how some of the goyim will gather around Har Hashem, and in pasuk Beis, the pasuk ends off with that famous line, Ki mitzion teitzei sora udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. The pasuk is telling us, the Navi is saying over here, that what attracts them to Har Hashem is the fact that Torah comes from Tzion and the Var Hashem from Yerushalayim. It doesn't mean that Torah cannot be learned anywhere else, as we know Torah can be learned anywhere, as we are learning Torah now. However, there is something about Tzion, about Yerushalayim, that is conducive to Torah and that is specific to Torah. But we know that there's a concept of Avira Deretz Yisrael Machkim, that the heir of Eretz Yisrael gives wisdom. There are certain things that can only be attained in Eretz Yisrael, but this isn't even a reference to Eretz Yisrael. This is a reference specifically to Har Tzion and to Yerushalayim. But what brings the goyim to rally around Hashem? The pasuk is clear that what brings them to rally around Hashem is Ki mitzion teitzei sora udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. The goyim are not attracted or will not be attracted to Hashem by the Jews going around and trying to convince the goyim that they should behave this way or that way. As we know, that's not our main job. Our main job is to follow the Torah. And it is that which attracts them. That's what makes them want to do better. That's what makes them want to rally around Hashem. The when it says that we are the ones that are the example for everybody else, it's not through actively trying to teach them. It is through us being the best Jews that we can be that then attracts them to Hashem. There will be those who will not rally around Hashem. Hashem is going to admonish them. And we have the famous line that the weapons are going to be broken down into farming implements, and there will be no more war. We have an abundance of weapons today. There are all kinds of weapons. Weaponry is a huge industry. That's not a new thing. Weaponry has always been a huge industry, but it's just taken on a different form today because of the type of weaponry that we have. And the weaponry is necessary because there is still war, and there is still need for weapons. Once we reach Acharis Hayamim, whenever that is, then there will be no need anymore for weapons because there will not be any more war, any more fighting among nations. And therefore the weapons will be put to use as something else, which would be farming implements because people still have to eat. What will our weapons be turned into? Don't know. Can't tell you. I have no idea. But these weapons are typically made with metal. The best weapons use metal as their material, whatever metal it is. But metal is the material that is used for weapons. And that's why it says that these things will be turned into implements for farming that require metal. And that's what the weapons will be used for. It is also clearly implied over here, and this is the case, that world peace is unattainable before Mashiach comes. As much as, of course, we want peace, and as much as we should try our best to have peace, daven for it, if we are able to affect leadership in a way that will be more conducive to not having wars and having peace, that is certainly worthwhile, but it is not an attainable goal without the coming of Mashiach, because what will ultimately bring peace is everybody rallying around Hashem. Without that, there can't be peace. And it is not an etzah to say that we will be peaceful when others are not being peaceful. Then all that's doing is enabling those who aren't peaceful. And they won't be peaceful until Mashiach comes. So of course we certainly hope and pray for as much peace as we can get. And we want wars to be at a minimum, but they're not going to go away. Not until Mashiach comes. And even the coming of Mashiach, as we know, is based on a war of Gog and Magog. And that really is referenced over here in a moment, as we'll see. When Mashiach comes, because of the peace that will ensue, then people will be able to sit in security. As it says in Pasuk Dalid, that each man under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one will fear, no one will tremble, as Hashem has spoken. Security, that word is again only attainable with Acharis Hayamim. It's always, to me, an oxymoron when they talk about security systems. Security systems are because we don't have security. That's why there are systems to give a sense of security. But even those are not secure. There's no such thing as security today. The word security used both in terms of protecting one's home, and to me even more ironic, is the term securities when it comes to financial instruments, which are the least secure that you could possibly be. Those are all oxymorons. Security, true security, is when we are rallying around Hashem, and Hashem, everybody recognizes Hashem's existence. Then there is security. But until then, there is not security. Yes.
In chapter 4, number 4, for all the peoples, I'm at the mercy of the English as well as the Hebrew. I'm trying. For all the peoples will go forth, and each man in the name of his God. That to me has a lot of essence that needs to be explored.
Yeah, we're about to get to that. That's the next passage.
Coming up next.
That's the next passage, yeah.
My other question is, when you get to Gog and Magog, could that be one nation of the same nation against each other?
That's not what the passage says. No, there's a war against the Jews.
The war what?
It's a war against the Jews.
So they're together, Gog and Magog.
Yeah. No, Gog is a person, Magog is a place.
Oh, okay.
Gog from Magog. And he will lead an army against the Jews.
I was hoping it was the same nation against each other.
No.
Why can't there be world peace before people rally against Hashem?
Well, you can tell me what you think, but the pasuk is saying that. I'm not telling you why. I'm telling you what. The pasuk is saying that when will it be that there will be no more war? That will be when it's Acharis Hayomim.
So the opposite is there will be war until then.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be all the time, but there are wars. Now, Pasuk Hey, verse 5, tells us that the nations that they go in the name of their Avodah Zarah, they will be destroyed, and we go with Hashem forever. Now, the Medrash over here mentions a few things. One of the things that the Medrash mentions is something which is referenced elsewhere, that we go with Hashem means everywhere. Even if we are in Galus or taken into Galus, we still go with Hashem, and Hashem goes with us. We're never leaving Hashem. It's Hashem with us, or we're with Hashem at all times, irrespective of where we are. The nations that follow their Avodah Zarah, then they will ultimately be destroyed. So in Acharis Hayamim, the nations are going to have to decide, are they going to rally around Hashem, or are they going to continue to cling to their Avodah Zarah? If they cling to their Avodah Zarah, then they're going to be destroyed. Those that do cling to their Avodah Zarah are going to be the ones who, as we'll see soon, are going to attack us in Acharis Hayamim, because we're going to represent Hashem, and they're not going to like that. In Pasuk Vav, the Pasuk tells us that Hashem says, I'm going to gather together all those who are scattered. And then it says, Va'asher harayosi, the last two words of the Pasuk, and those to whom I did evil to. Which, as I said before, simply means that those who I had to punish because of their sins, I'm now going to gather them in. However, the Gemara in Maseches Brachos tells us that various Nevi'im made the plea to Hashem and said to Hashem that really the fact that the Jews have sinned is because of the type of Yetzer Hara you've put in the Jewish people. And therefore, Hashem, you, kiviyachol, so to speak, have to take some of the blame for the sins, because you gave them a Yetzer Hara. And the Gemara says that ultimately Hashem agrees to that point. And this is the pasuk that is cited to prove that Hashem says, "Va'asher harayosi," that I did evil. Meaning, if you read it literally, it means that I'm the one who caused the evil. Now, this has to be understood, because what kind of a complaint is that? If there were no Yetzer Hara, then there would be no purpose in existence. Our whole purpose in existence is only to be here, to struggle with our Yetzer Hara and ultimately subjugate our Yetzer Hara in order that we should merit being a little bit like Hashem. In other words, that we get to a point where we deserve something because of our struggle, and therefore Hashem is able to be meitiv, Hashem is able to do tov to us, which means that we can be as close to Hashem as is humanly possible. Without a Yetzer Hara, you can't be like Hashem. Because as the Ramchal and others explain, that Hashem is, was not given to Hashem. It comes from Him. Everything is from Him. He's never the result, He's always the source. We, by definition, because we're created, are always the result. We're always receiving. We have nothing that is inherently ours. So in order to be like Hashem, there has to be, in some way or other, that something is coming from us. So He gave us a Yetzer Hara that we have to struggle with, and by defeating the Yetzer Hara, or by subjugating the Yetzer Hara, in a very small way, something is coming from us. And that can make us like Hashem, so to speak. So that's a necessary component in creation. Without that, there's no point in all of creation. So what does it mean that Hashem says, I have caused the evil, and that the Nevi'im complain and they say, Hashem, it's partially your fault? So it seems that what Hashem is saying over here is, I did give a Yetzer Hara. And even though, of course, the goal is that everybody struggle with and subjugate their Yetzer Hara, and that no one ever do an Avera, it is never a good thing for anybody to do an Avera, and the ultimately the plan is that there should never be any Averos, but at the same time, Hashem created us with the Yetzer Hara, and therefore, people have free will, and therefore, there are going to be sins. Sins are going to happen. And Hashem says, I take responsibility for that. I did create a system in which there are going to be sins. It's never good, and it's never the plan. It shouldn't be. Adam Rishon should not have eaten from the tree. It shouldn't have happened. Every sin should not happen. But at the end of the day, there are going to be sins. And Hashem says, I take responsibility for that. And that is a measure of defense. It's not a complete defense, because at the end of the day, we all have free will, and we're all able to defeat our Yetzer Hara. But it is a measure of defense that Hashem is the one who created the system that can allow for sin. Hashem says He's going to gather together everybody. And then the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Ches, and now Migdal Eder, which is a reference to Mashiach, the one who is hidden because of the sins of the Jews, to you they will come. Now, the phrase Migdal Eder is found in the Chumash. It's in Parshas Vayishlach. What does it say in Parshas Vayishlach? The Pasuk tells us that after Yaakov Avinu struggles with the angel of Esav, and then he meets Esav, and then he gets past Esav, and then there's the incident with Shechem. After that, he continues to travel towards Yitzchak. That's where he's going, to his father Yitzchak. And the Pasuk tells us that Rachel died, and with the birth of Binyamin, and Yaakov put up a matzeva, he put up a monument. And then the Pasuk says, Vayisa Yisrael, and Yisrael traveled, Vayet Ahalo, and he pitched his tent, Mehala Lemigdal Eder, beyond Migdal Eder. So the Medrash over here says that Migdal Eder is a place that Yaakov went to after Rachel passed away and was buried in Kever Rachel. And the very next thing is that Yaakov goes to Migdal Eder. Therefore, the Medrash says that when the Navi Micha refers to the Melech HaMashiach here as Migdal Eder, the idea that Micha is getting across is that it is in the schus of Rachel Imenu that we come to Migdal Eder. Yaakov went to Migdal Eder immediately after burying Rachel in Kever Rachel, and from there we come to Migdal Eder, which in Micha means Melech HaMashiach. And therefore it is in the schus of Rachel Imenu that we get out of Galus. Now we know this already. We know it from Kol Baram HaNishma. We already know that. But here we have a reference to it as well, that here in the context of Acharis Hayamim, we also have a reference to Rachel Imenu. Now Rachel Imenu is the argument to get us out of Galus. That's Rachel Imenu's argument. Her argument is to Hashem that I was willing to bring a tsara l'soch beisi. I was willing to bring a co-wife into my house. So I was willing to give up the affection of my husband, of Yaakov. So if the Jews have, so to speak, taken away some of your affection and directed it towards Avodah Zarah, you should also forgive. I was willing to do it, then you should be willing to accept that as well. And Hashem says to Rachel Imenu, Yafe lamarat sanigaria, you defended the Jews well. And because of that, there will be Yesh tikva l'achariseich, that they will get out of Galus because of that defense. Now, the defense of Rachel, if you think about it, is not saying that the Jews didn't mean it. It's not saying that the Jews were coerced or they couldn't help it. The defense of Rachel is, even if it was on purpose, but I was willing to bring this competition into my world. I didn't have to, and I was willing to do it, and I did it anyway for my sister. So Hashem, you should do it too. So the defense is not the Jews are really okay. The defense is, even though they did it, and they're wrong for doing it, but you should still not be upset with them. To which Hashem says, you're right. The defense of Rachel really is that Hashem says, if our mother behaved like that, and she was willing to go through that, then Hashem says, then I am willing to go through that as well. Which means that although we know that we're not perfect and we have done things wrong, and every time you do something wrong, a person does something wrong, they are essentially rejecting Hashem. That's what an Avera is. An Avera is saying, I prefer me over Hashem. I prefer my interests over Hashem. That's what it is. So it's taking away what should have been devotion and affection for Hashem and directing it elsewhere. So we're not into Avodah Zarah because we don't have the Yetzirah anymore, but that's what an Avera is. And Rachel Imenu is saying that I was willing to do that ben adam l'chavero. In order to protect my sister, I was willing to accept that loss of devotion and affection. So Hashem says, you're correct. How do we merit the zchus of Rachel Imenu? We get the zchus of Rachel Imenu by doing what she did. That's how one accesses the zchus of the Avos and the Imos, is to behave as they did. We are supposed to say, Chayav on the lower person is required to say, Ad Masai Agil Masai Al Masai Avosai, when will I behave like they behave? Now we know we're not able to get there. We're not Rachel Imenu. We're not on her level. And we're never going to be able to be as selfless as she was. But it is that behavior that brings about Mashiach. And so here it is referenced as well that as much as we can incorporate that midah into our lives, that is what is going to bring about Mashiach. But that's the reference here to Migdal Eder.
Why is Migdal Eder? What's the words? Why does that mean?
The Migdal means a flap, right? Migdal means a tower.
And, right, Migdal. So it's interesting because you said the word Hala. It says Mehala and then Migdal Eder, and look in the pasuk also. I thought it was interesting. It's an interesting translation, right? The word vehan.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, those who are worn out. That really comes from the word leah. Laa means worn out. That's what the word means.
It looks like the same hey lamet al hey.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Mehala, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what it means. Leia really means to be worn out, which takes. We talked about it actually in Chumash about Leia Imenu, about what, why that, that's what her name means.
It's,
huh? Yeah, it's a whole. But I'm saying that's what she represents. She represents that the midah of wearing herself out for Hashem. Now
she becomes a superwoman.
Yeah, well, that means she wears it. Then the Navi gives Musar why we are running after the other nations to help us. And Hashem says, you're going to have to go to Bavel, but from there I'm going to save you from your enemies. Now, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, which says that the Goyim gather together, and they gather together and they think they're going to see our destruction, God forbid. But instead, Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12, they don't know my thoughts, says Hashem, because I've brought them together like a pile of grain to be threshed. And then he says, we are going to thresh that grain. So the Medrash here brings a couple of examples of where this happens. The four kings came together, the four kings against Avraham Avinu, they came together so that Avraham could destroy them. But had they not come to take Lot, had come together as one group to take Lot, then they would have been scattered all over. But here they were all together in one place, Avraham was able to attack them and destroy them, they were evil people. Similarly, the Medrash says that after we got out of Mitzrayim, so the Egyptians all came to Baal Tzafon. They came to the one last Avodah Zarah that was left standing. Again, Hashem did that in order to bring the Egyptians together to destroy them. And the Medrash says that what this means is that in Acharis Hayamim, Hashem is going to bring the non-Jews together to be destroyed. They will be together in Milchemes Gog Umagog, in that battle, and they will be destroyed, as we have learned before. It seems that one of the purposes of that war is to destroy those who do not rally around Hashem. If they don't gather together in battle, then they don't appear to be anti-Hashem. But if they gather together in battle, and that's what it's going to be, Gog is going to gather together all the nations to come and attack the Jews because he is anti-Hashem. And from there he will be destroyed.
I'm just thinking, you were talking about the midas of the three mountains, and here Micha is now hit on all three. He's saying, you didn't do tshuva, so you're going to have to go in Galus. You didn't do that. You didn't have emunah because you cried out for help from others. And you didn't have humility because you thought you were in charge of everything. Uh-huh. You didn't remember Hashem.
Okay, nice.
So
very
it's
good.
Like he's saying, you didn't learn the lesson from these three mountains.
Okay, good, good. Or that you need to in order to bring
right.
Mashiach. Right,
to get Mashiach.
Right, okay. Now we're going to end with one last point, which is very important for Sefer Micha, but I don't have a strong explanation for it just yet. I'm hoping that as we move through Micha, it'll become more clear. In the very last pasuk of this perek, it says that there's a reference to Bavel gathering together and laying siege to the Jews. And then it says, with the staff, they will strike the jaw of the shofet of the Jewish people. Now, the simple meaning is that the people of Bavel will strike the jaw of the Jewish people. However, the Medrash says that in Sefer Yeshaya, remember we've talked about how there were four Nevi'im that lived at the same time. They are Hosea, Amos, Micha, and Yeshaya. These four live at the same time. When Yeshaya first becomes a Navi, which is in the sixth parak of Yeshaya, it's not in order, then the pasuk says, Hashem says, Esmi Eshlach Umi Yelech Lanu. Who should I send and who will go on our behalf? Who's going to be the Navi that will deliver the messages I need delivered? So you may be familiar with that pasuk because it's the Haftorah of Parshas Yisro. That's where we find that those words. So the Medrash says that Hashem said, and we talked about this when we did Amos. Hashem says, I sent Amos, and the Jews said, Amos is that man with the speech impediment. If you recall, Amos had trouble with his speech, really diametrically opposed to Micha, who seems to be a wordsmith. But Amos had a speech impediment. And remember we talked about how the Jews argued that Hashem is, so to speak, belittling himself by giving nevuah to a man with an impediment. Then the Medrash goes on to say that Hashem says, I sent, so Micha, therefore Amos was ineffective for that reason. We talked about this when we learned Sefer Amos. I sent Micha, and they struck him on the jaw. So who should I send? Micha was also ineffective because they struck him in the jaw. And it cites this pasuk, that it is the Jews striking Micha in the jaw. That Bashevet Yaku Ahalechi, that with the staff they strike on the jaw, a Shofet Yisrael, the one who is judging the Jews, that is Micha. That the Jews do this. So Hashem says, how am I going to get my message across? They marginalized, they dismissed Amos, they struck Micha. So who am I going to send? And Yeshaya says, Hineni shlacheni, here I am, send me. So Yeshaya becomes the Navi who will try to do what both Amos and Micha are unable to accomplish. It is not the fault of Amos and Micha. As we learned in Amos, there was a reason why Hashem sent a Navi that had an impediment, as we learned then, but the Jews turned it around and used it as a negative. Here, Micha as well, ultimately his message is going to be rejected by the Jews, by some Jews anyway, as they strike him on the jaw, particularly the jaw, because that is where he's speaking from. So, as we move through Micha, hopefully we will have greater insight into this pasuk, that what is the significance of them striking him in the jaw, and why Micha? Why is Micha the one who is struck, and why would Yeshaya not be struck? What is the difference between the two? Yeshaya seems to be the Navi that is going to do what Amos couldn't do, because Amos had a speech impediment and Yeshaya does not, and what Micha couldn't do, because Micha was struck on the jaw and Yeshaya somehow will not be. So what is this contrast? So hopefully we'll have a clearer vision of that as we move through the rest of Sefer Micha.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.